Hey guys, Adam Hoge here. If you enjoy the Hoge and Johns podcast, and if you're listening to this, then I assume you do, please check out WGN Radio's new live podcast, Sports Central. I'm hosting it Monday through Friday, and you can hear it live from 1 to 2 p.m. on WGNRadio.com and the WGN Radio app. But we're producing it like a podcast, so you can really listen to it whenever you want. Just search WGN Sports Central on iTunes, the Google Play Store, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Hoge and Johns is still the place for your hardcore Bears talk, but there's still plenty of football chatter on Sports Central, and we touch on all Chicago sports as well. Hope you'll give it a listen. In the meantime, let's go!
We'll look at the tape.
Hoge and Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hoge.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
What's going on? Episode 146 of Hoge and Johns. Couple weeks off here. And back at it after the Super Bowl. Congrats to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Congrats to Alshon Jeffrey.
Congrats to Alshon Jeffrey.
He guaranteed it. Kinda. Not really. But he did it.
I mean, if you're talking about the stuff with the Bears, sure. It was sort
of... Okay, he came back later during Super Bowl week and promised
He was like, we're winning this game. I thought anybody else who did that would have been huge headlines. And apparently his teammates and coaches were all talking about how he's been saying it all year. So good for him.
Well, he has to say it all year because he said it before the year.
He backed it up, though. Huge first half of the game. Not much after that, but...
Not much.
It's a pretty damn big difference maker in the first half, I thought. Not buying it.
No, I'm not buying it. We can get to that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
That's for later.
Name me a single play a Bears wide receiver made this entire year that was impressive
I can't. That's besides the fact. Besides the fact.
Of hashtag. What? Besides the fact of what?
Besides the fact.
That he's way better than anything the Bears
have. Of course
have.
He is.
Yeah, okay.
Of course he is.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Good to be back. Good to get that banter going. WGNRadio.com/Bears is where you can read me. And you can read me now on Pro Football Weekly.
Congratulations.
Little weekly.
You're part of the Hub Arkish Empire now.
I know. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Like, it is an empire.
It is an empire.
Yeah.
Multimedia empire.
I will be writing a weekly NFL draft column for ProFootballWeekly.com from now until the draft. So you can check that out every week. First one went up today as we record on a Wednesday night. It is a late night Hoge and Johns edition here. So things could get weird.
What? Because it's post 8 p.m. on a... What day of the week is it, by the way? Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
We have a lot of stuff going on. We're family men. It's the off season technically now. Officially.
We're just trying to get stuff in when we can. And I got this new show going on with Sports Central, which is...
You're darn busy.
Making me exhausted right now.
Yeah, you launched Super Bowl week.
Well, that's the thing. I still haven't come back down to earth. By the way, you can read John's ChicagoSunTimes.com.
Thank you.
Well, I hadn't said it yet, so we'll just sneak it in there. Yeah, but... The work last week was a ton of fun.
You were a one-man wrecking crew, as they would say.
I'm making it clear I'm not complaining about it at all, but I'm still trying to catch up from a sleep standpoint.
That's technically a complaint in a way. A
siesta.
You need a lot of siestas.
I do. It's not really a complaint. It's reality.
Well, we're sports writers. We wouldn't be sports writers.
Kid at a doctor's appointment at 8 a.m. after getting home at 1 a.m. Welcome back to reality.
You're still complaining, I think, technically.
Here's what I'm complaining about. Doctor's appointments and snow. Stop snowing for the love of God.
Oh, there's a lot more snow
coming
your way.
There's a lot more coming.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Apparently, I'm not complaining about
Super Bowl.
You
brought it with you from Minneapolis. Thank you.
Yeah. It was cold. But I am not complaining about that.
Did you tweet at all about the weather up there?
My only tweets about the weather were to those people complaining about the weather.
Good. Good.
It was, stop complaining about the weather. You're covering the Super Bowl. Shut up.
And you're inside the largest mall of America.
That's the thing. We were hardly ever outside.
Mm-hmm.
The most we were outside the whole week was when Pat Finley and I ventured into downtown Minneapolis.
And even then, you're going night. From Uber to
and it was
restaurant.
Fun. Yeah. Plus, they were selling hot drinks out there. And when I say drinks, I mean real drinks.
Like proper drinks,
hottie toddies.
Very nice.
They were good. Yeah. It was a good event. The NFL, for being in a cold weather city, did a great job.
And rumor has it that there was beer in the media room.
There was. I never partook in any of that, by the way, which was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I would say. So, you know, theoretically, you could have gotten all sauced up while you're doing your work and went out in the cold because you know you can handle the weather, the cold weather, when you're all sauced up better.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You don't feel it until you're in the hospital.
Until you're in the hospital, exactly. Hey, by the way, you can listen to Sports Central, the new show. We hope you do. It's a lot of football so far. We were on Radio Row all last week, launching it. Interviews with Devin Hester. I'm trying to think of other ones that were. Well, we're going to talk about Jay Glazer a little bit.
Yeah.
Jay Glazer talking about John Fox and Ryan Pace's relationship. You'll hear that in a moment right here on this podcast. But if you like Hogan Johns, and you know we assume you do if you're listening right now, check out Sports Central. Live, you can actually listen to that one live 1 to 2 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday, on WGNRadio.com, the WGN Radio app, or you can catch it as a podcast just like this. Listen to it whenever you want. Just search WGN Sports Central on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, however you listen to your podcast. And, of course, you can find the Hogan Johns podcast the same way. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate you doing that. So, from a local angle with the Super Bowl, Alshon Jeffrey, the story, and the play that the Eagles stole from the Bears.
You're also forgetting the kicker.
Oh, you mean the guy they wouldn't let me talk to after the game?
Why not?
Because my credential didn't get me in the locker rooms. Thanks to the guy that stole Tom Brady's jersey last year.
He didn't come out to the podium
which
area?
I was trying to tell Pat that the entire week. I'm pretty sure my credential doesn't work in locker rooms. No, yeah, you can get in locker rooms. You can get in locker rooms. And then we get there, and he scans his. That's a new thing. You have to scan your credential in and out of the locker room.
Wow.
To help with the security when idiots are stealing Tom Brady's jersey.
Thanks, Obama.
And so Pat scans his, walks straight in. Jeff Joniak and I are following.
The voice of the Bears got denied, stiff-armed.
And Joniak was not happy.
Wow.
Not happy about
it. Wow.
I was expecting it, so I was too busy to put
so it was because you're a radio guy?
I don't know. They discriminate.
Wow.
They discriminate against radio guys, I guess.
Wow. I
think everybody who was in the main press box, their credentials were granted access. So everybody who was put in the auxiliary press box.
The stands.
Which, again, discrimination against radio. Not really, though. I understand how they do it. It's the main beat writers for the two teams that are playing, and then the national writers and the big time news.
I once sat in the auxiliary.
Yeah,
Mark Potash and I next to Peggy Kaczynski. What Super Bowl was that? The one in Arizona.
Okay,
I believe. And we gave our press box seats. No, it was in I forget which Super Bowl that was, but we let the Viper, Rick Morrissey, Rick Tellner, the veteran, and Pat Finley, for whatever reason, have the press box seats. And Mark and I sat in the stands.
That had to be
awful box lunch. Now I'm complaining.
I will say the for having such great food in the press box at U.S. Bank Stadium, which I have enjoyed many times, the food that they had at halftime in the auxiliary press box was maybe the worst hot dog I've ever had in my entire life. And that's not, I mean, maybe it is a complaint, but just call me a food critic on that one.
When I covered, awful. It was the Super Bowl between, when the Ravens held off the 49ers, and the box lunch we got it at halftime, or even before that, probably hours before that was in my seat. It was like a brick sandwich. By the time I opened it up, halftime, you're a little bit hungry.
Yeah.
It was a brick. Like, you could literally have chopped wood with the thing.
So you didn't get a pregame meal?
Yeah.
Because they had the box things for us, too, but I went down the press box and ate like a real meal. I saw Shane McClellan in the food line.
How was my guy doing?
Didn't really want to talk to us.
No?
I said, but Adam Johns. I do a podcast
He would have stopped to talk to me.
Yeah. No, he said hi. Shane's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But he was in the zone before the game. I mean, he wasn't playing, obviously. But
I don't want to say that. The guy's multi-concussed athlete. Can't say he's in the zone. What does it in the zone mean for him?
Good.
Maybe that's why he wasn't into talking. I don't know. Yeah. He was in the food line in the press box.
Okay.
Maybe he was lost.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What, did they have the mashed potato bar?
They had prime. It wasn't prime rib. It was some kind of beef tenderloin.
They went up a notch, huh?
Beef tenderloin. Well, I mean, the make your own omelet bar at that stadium is phenomenal.
Yeah.
They didn't.
We're giving everybody an inside look at the spoils of our job.
I mean, let's be honest. It's either this or Alshon Jeffrey.
Oh, we're getting to that. We're getting to that.
Yeah. Now the food was okay in the press box. Anyway, I'm trying to think of any other inside stories. Oh, Pat and I walked around the stadium before the game, and I wanted to blow the Galler horn.
Yes, and Pat took a picture of that too.
Yeah. I tweeted out a picture, should I do it? And I think people believe me, like, that I was really going to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe if I work for Barstool Sports or something. By the way,
no,
I just...
you just take pictures of guys in the shower.
We were talking about this, and I should have asked someone to get the answer. Yeah, that's bad. That horn doesn't actually make a noise, right? They just play sound through the speakers.
You should have done it.
It does. I don't think if I had,
come on.
I don't think if I had blown into the horn, it would have done it.
Maybe if you just press your lips against it, it like hits a signal or something. And why would they even have the thing? Remember at TF Bank Stadium where the Gophers play?
Yeah, I do.
They had it out in the field, and
yeah,
people were putting their lips in that thing, and you're
the Eagles fans kept doing the skull chant during the week.
Yeah.
That was cool.
A bunch of jerks.
That was me.
But glorious jerks.
It was funny.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
All right.
I saw a couple like clips of like television stations interviewing Vikings fans, and they're like, those Eagles fans are so mean. I can't do the accent. You spend more time up there. You got to do the accent.
In Minnesota?
Minnesota. They're so mean to us.
Yeah, I don't have it right now.
You know?
Oh, yeah, they're mean.
Oh, yeah, they're mean. Meanwhile, there's a guy in the back doing a skull chant with a McNabb jersey.
I felt for the Minnesota fans a little bit. It was awkward. And the feedback I got was that it was kind of all just sort of a bummer. Obviously for the Minnesota fans, but
absolutely,
it had an effect on the whole on everybody who was there, like especially early in the week before all the Eagles and Patriots fans were really there. It was kind of dead around the mall,
yeah,
and probably dead downtown too. But there just wasn't much excitement about the whole hosting of the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like there probably is in other cities.
Well, the town gets going when the real fans come in for those teams Thursday and Friday, but. They're a special circumstance. They were so close to being the host city, having their home team.
I was looking forward to
that. And they got their butts kicked by the Eagles 2 weeks prior.
Yeah. Did you hear my interview with Paul Allen earlier in the week?
No.
He was offered 4 tickets to the game, turned them down, and was flying to Vegas for the weekend.
That's a way to do it.
He's like, I can't wait to get out of here at the end of the week.
Hey, beat the crowds.
So.
Beat the cold.
Go to Vegas. Should check in with him, see how it was. All right. Alshon Jeffrey wins the Super Bowl, played a pretty good first half. I mean, for a while there, he was like the leading candidate for MVP. And then the Patriots decided to make an adjustment, put Stephon Gilmore, his old teammate, on him. And we didn't hear much
about Alshon. And a whole lot of nothing. A whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and according to him, he was cramping up in the second half with his calf, which surprises
no one. Oh, okay. Oh, Alshon. Look, I get it.
Why don't you say what you really want to say?
Okay. He's not that good.
He's not a
number one. He's not a number one.
He's
like a
one and a half.
He's like a 1D. Not even a 1B or 1C. He's like a 1D.
He's like a 1.5. He's a cross between a 1 and a 2. On a Super Bowl team, they didn't really have a defined number one.
No. I would say Zach Ertz is their number one.
Yeah.
I think what bothered me is that everybody in Chicago or affiliated with the Chicago media, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, from every paper, every affiliate, anybody watching that game, that is from Chicago, and Alshon Jeffrey is going off. And I get it. I was thinking the same thing. Like, oh, wow. It's Alshon doing Alshon-like things. Right? The diving touchdown, the falling awkward catch down the right sideline. Three catches for 73 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I just don't think a number one receiver stops being productive in a game like that.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Just by them switching a cornerback on
him. He should have made the play, too, on the interception.
Yep. I mean, is Antonio Brown getting shut down like that?
No. But Alshon's never been the guy who gets, huge separation.
I know. And he is a lot better than what the Bears have.
Mm-hmm.
What the Bears have on the roster. And I get it.
I just liked that it wasn't that he was talking smack. It was just he confidently really, really believed that they were going to win the game and was not afraid to say it. And then he went out there and backed it up.
Right. Sky's the limit, right?
Sky's the limit.
We've heard that a lot. And look, and I get it. I know he's become the Bears. He's like everybody's favorite. Hey, look at Alshon Jeffrey. You know, the Bears really miss that guy. Well, you know what? That guy didn't want to be here.
Well, here.
When free agency came up, the Bears didn't have a quarterback.
Which makes comments like this after the game still really interesting and maybe misleading. Oh, hang on a second. My fault. This was after the game.
I went where I was wanted, not where I was unwanted. I went where I was wanted, man. Where the best place where I can win a championship. Hey, speaking into existence, hard work and dedication.
Speaking it into existence.
But he's still implying there that the Bears didn't want him.
He didn't want the Bears.
But can it be mutual?
Yeah.
I mean, if the Bears really wanted him, they could have paid him more money or franchised him.
Well, he wanted a long-term deal that the Bears were unwilling to give him. And you know what? You know why? Because the market didn't dictate that. What did he end up signing with the Eagles? A one-year deal, and it eventually turned into a four-year extension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Bears knew his market. Didn't want to be here. He wanted to go to a team with a chance to win, and they had a quarterback. And obviously there was some uncertainty around Wentz in his second year, but the Eagles had their connections to him, you know, whether Mike Groh or Dwayne Joseph, the Bears' former director, scouting boss. So the connections were there and made most sense, but look, he's a very good player. He's a darn good player, can make some electric plays. But I think the storyline, this is really my point, the storyline of he shunned the Bears and the Bears made a huge mistake of letting him go and not filling that void that was left behind, I think it's a little bit overblown.
What did you make of the fact that Matt Barkley and Dow Loggins decided the Super Bowl?
My guy Dow coming through for everybody?
I just love that.
I forgot about that play.
Yeah, I mean, when it happened, I'm going, I've seen that before, and I had to run it through my brain. I'm like, this looks really, really familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because I'm like, same vantage point, same stadium, same end zone.
Yeah.
I'm going, and then it finally clicked. Yeah, the Bears ran this last year, and then I'm trying to go through, like, that was Matt Barkley. Yeah. And then someone tweeted the play at me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that was the exact same play.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never even would have thought in a million years that that's where they got it.
Yeah, yeah, the Bears of all teams.
But Frank Reich after the game was just like, yep, we got it from the Bears. And I'm standing there, I'm going, what? Did he just say that they got it from the Bears? So then I followed up. I was like, you talking about the play they ran against the Vikings last year? And actually, I have this right here. And then he said this.
Yeah, it was. Because we were thinking about running it last week. And we were wondering, could we run it against the Vikings after the Bears had already run it against them a year before?
So they were going to run it against the Vikings in the NFC Championship game. But they didn't have to
because they killed them, beating them down. Yeah.
But they pull it out in a key moment on a fourth down call. And then did you see the video from Nick Foles? The NFL Films already put the video out.
Oh, yeah, he wanted that
Nick
play.
Nick Foles ran over to the sideline, asked Doug Peterson for that play. He called it Philly. It's called Philly Special when he calls it in the huddle. And then he came back to the sideline afterwards and was like, sorry, coach, I was feeling it. And Doug was like, I could tell, man, good for Nick Foles. What a cool story.
Absolutely. When that was, what, the last game of the regular season, 2016, when the Bears won it?
Yeah.
And
it was the day that Alshon made his Super Bowl guarantee.
Yes. Yes, he did.
And he was on the field for both of the plays.
If I can remember my memory of what I was thinking at that time, I honestly thought I didn't care. Like, oh, that's nice. Who cares? It's the last game of the year.
Yeah.
They're 3-13.
But you didn't know it was going to decide a Super
Bowl. No.
So Alshon said that Mike Groh was the one that put it in.
Yeah. Well, was he there for 20?
He wasn't there last year, but he had been there. Basically, for when Alshon's saying that, that means that the play had been in the offense for a few years. Remember, Dowell basically kept the same offense. So this probably goes back to Adam Gase.
Okay.
Goes back to Adam Gase's offense. Mike Groh was there. They saw the Bears run it, put it in the just on the list of stuff you bring up, and they installed it during the playoffs. Mike Groh, according to Alshon, Mike Groh put it in, and Frank Reich, Doug Peterson got it dialed up.
I love that Doug Peterson okayed Philly. Yeah, absolutely. Philly. Oh, absolutely, Nick. Philly. Why not? What do we got to lose besides Super Bowl?
We need to add Dilly soundboard.
Make it Philly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do if I'm in a Philadelphia market or something. Philly.
I think they did. Well, the Eagles have.
Yeah, good.
I think the play.
We can't just trademark that right now.
No, I think that's where they got that play call.
This is what happens when we have to do 8 p.m. podcasts on a Wednesday night.
Drink Bud Lights.
No, we'll go Philly. just a thought.
Yeah, okay.
The aggressiveness of Doug Peterson. I think Bears fans should be encouraged because I think a certain head coach of their new team thinks the same way.
Yeah.
Nonstop attack. I don't run John Fox style like offense. And we're going to keep our foot in the pedal.
So did you see Teddy Greenstein's story the other day about this? Because it's not just a coach that's randomly like, oh, I'm going to be aggressive no matter what. There's analytics behind this stuff. They don't always go for it on fourth down. It's not like any time there's a fourth down they go for it. But there's certain situations where the numbers tell you this is the right call, even if it looks like it's incredibly aggressive and a risky move, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, he's got that famous saying, "Stats are for losers." But the reality is, Northwestern uses a ton of analytics, and it fuels their decision making. And really, over the last few seasons, Fitz has become one of the more aggressive coaches in all of college football. And at the Music City Bowl this year, he got crushed for those decisions he made on fourth down. But it's what he's been doing all year. That's why a lot of people were criticizing me because I was defending him for those calls in the Music City Bowl. But this is what he's been doing all year, and it's been working. So almost the exact same situation because Northwestern ran a very, very similar play as Philly in that game on fourth and two. Near the goal line. And they went for it. Same situation. Really, same situation. Went for it. And they didn't get it. But, the coach can't control the outcome. He can only control the situation and making the call based on all the information presented in front of him. And, so if you're going to praise Doug Peterson for going on 4th-and-1, you can't be criticizing Fitz for doing the same thing in the exact same situation. And then there was a 4th down late in the game, too, on Sunday, where he goes for it on 4th down, right near midfield.
Yeah.
Now, Fitz was a little bit more backed up when he decided to do that at the end of the Music City Bowl, but same situation. It's not like these guys are just making it up as they go. There is actual numbers behind these decisions. And so I think the hope here is that Matt Nagy, when you said he brings a similar approach, that hopefully the analytics are fueling those decisions.
Well, the aggressiveness is it's beyond sometimes even those situations. It's the situations that lead to those situations. It's the play calls that you dial up to be in a situation like that. It's the preparation for those situations. It all deals with the aggressive mindset.
But how many times, like with John Fox, were you like, Wasn't there a 4th down in Philadelphia where they're trailing and it's like 4th-and-1 or 2 at the 38-yard line and they had those kicker problems, so you're not going to kick the field. Or they actually did try a long field goal. I'm forgetting what play. But you don't have to pin it down to what game. How many times did he punt in opponent's territory?
Yep.
When it's like, it's where you got to go for it.
Yep. Yeah, but even like the play calls before that, you know, we watched them win a football game by throwing the ball 7 times.
Thank God we don't.
You know, it's
we
just
don't have to do that
a different approach in general. I think aggressiveness is a loose definition, and I think Matt Nagy embodies that a lot more offensively than you would ever see Jeff Fox in anything.
You know, I'm not an offensive coordinator. I'm not a defensive coordinator. I'm not a special teams coordinator, but I coordinate all three.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
No.
Speaking of Fox, should we talk about the Jay Glazer stuff?
Yes.
So, on Sports Central last week, Jay Glazer was on Radio Row. He sat down with me, and he's really there doing some MMA stuff. But we all know he's tight with John Fox. Haven't heard a lot of John Fox. I heard John Fox was there last week, actually. Didn't see him do any interviews.
Yeah, but he was there, but according to my Facebook, he was at a local Super Bowl party on Sunday. So he came, he was there, and he came back. Probably came with the parties, and then he came back home for the Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, where was the Super Bowl party? In Marco?
No, somewhere, we'll say in Lake Forest.
Oh.
Somebody's house.
Was he at Waddle's party?
Yes. I don't know if it's out there. But I saw it all over.
No, because I thought I heard. I think I heard Cap say something like that yesterday on the radio, and I was like, "Is he talking about John Fox?"
Okay, then yes, John Fox was at Tom Waddle's Super Bowl party.
Wow. Why is that not more of a thing?
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. Well, he was at Super Bowl earlier in the week.
Okay.
Jay Glazer was there.
Okay.
Jay Glazer talked about John Fox.
Yeah. That's why you got Jared Payton. Or you got JP running to John Fox. Put that on Instagram.
JP did?
Mm-hmm.
Mind the interview.
I'm guessing he said no.
All right. Anyway, here's some of my conversation with Jay Glazer, at least the part that made a little bit of news.
He thought he was going to have a great relationship with Ryan Pace.
Yeah.
So, and obviously that didn't happen. But
so well, they didn't have a good relationship.
Well, they did at first, but obviously when things go south. But yeah, they did at first. They had a phenomenal relationship at first. I thought those two guys were going to really mesh well together, and I think they did. But there's a lot of things that just it didn't pan out, and you know whether it's personnel didn't pan out or coaching decisions didn't pan out, it just didn't pan out.
And there seemed to be some confusion about Mitch Trubisky and drafting him, and
right.
How much John knew about that.
Well, that's exactly. Exactly right. And no matter what, you got to make sure everybody's on the same page. And even after that, you know, Foxy kind of protected the organization of how much he really did and didn't know, which he didn't need to do.
Your reaction?
Protecting from what?
Well, wasn't he asked about it? About not knowing? And he sort of just gave some vague answer like, oh, you know, we're all in conversation. There was enough public denial about that it kind of went away. I think that's
that John Fox did not know.
Correct. I think there was enough, whether it was Pace or Fox, I'm forgetting the specifics right now. I do remember Fox was asked about it at some point and gave some kind of answer like that. Like, oh, we're all in conversation or something like that.
But here's the
thing. I'm assuming that's what Glazer's talking about.
Didn't Ryan Pace keep it a secret from everybody?
Well, and some astute Twitter followers immediately pointed out, maybe your relationship with John Fox is why he wasn't keeping John Fox in the loop.
Knowing that loose lips sink ships?
I mean, there seems to be some truth to that. Or at least some logic, maybe not truth, but logic. No?
You're probably right.
I mean, I'm just...
If you're so... I know what you're saying. And no, I 100% agree with you.
What
John Fox is a notorious gossiper, in a sense.
Yeah.
Once he hits the nightlife scene, I mean, the combine, his stories are legendary. You can't have him out at 2 in the morning talking about how much Mr. Trubisky is beloved by your team. just can't.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I'm not accusing Jake Glazer of, you know, then turning around and reporting stuff like that. I think Glazer has proven that he's a very trustworthy guy to these guys. He reports what he's allowed to report, keeps a lot of stuff close to the vest because he has these good relationships.
You struck a chord here, though.
What?
It was almost he wasn't ready to talk about this, and you did a good job of pressing him on the topic of his buddy John Fox.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell me, was he a little bit fired up? He sounded fired up about this.
Yeah, he did a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I don't think he was expecting me to ask about John.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing a bunch of Radio Row interviews. There no other stations there are probably asking about John Fox.
Yep.
And, you know, for me, it was like, well, I got to ask him. But I also appreciate Jay being candid about it, too, and not just, avoiding.
He was insightful.
Like avoiding the topic.
Yeah.
Look, but let me say this. Nothing he said there changes my opinion of what their relationship was like or what happened with Trubisky. I will say, I think perhaps Jay's, the first part where he talked about John Fox's Ryan Pace's relationship was a little interesting. That maybe was a little bit more fractured in year three than we thought.
Yeah.
But he
I'm sure somebody that's rooted in Trubisky, for sure.
Well, and that's why I followed up with the Trubisky stuff, because that seemed to be the turning point, right? But getting to that part of it, nothing Jay Glazer said there changes my understanding of the situation, which was, okay, first of all, John Fox went to Chapel Hill with them, with the whole group. He knew there was interest in the quarterback. Did he know?
No, he was part of that dinner where John Fox basically regaled him and Pace with tails, or Trubisky and Pace with tails. Yes.
Correct. Did he know that Pace loved him so much that he was hell-bent on drafting him no matter what? That was the guy going into draft day? Vontae Mack, no matter what. Mitch Trubisky, no matter what. Did he know that?
No.
Probably not. Did he know that Ryan Pace was going to trade up to number two, pull off that deal, take away some other draft picks? Did he know that? Probably not. And I'm sure Fox had his own opinions on who he wanted the team to draft to. And maybe in the short-term reaction, I forget who was the one that originally reported that Fox did not know. It was somebody credible.
Chris Mortensen.
Chris Mortensen is very credible.
I think Ryan Pace, at certain points, put his foot down and started to execute his long-term vision for the team.
Which you should.
Yep. That enough was enough. Yeah, you went from a 3-13, and things started to go awry rather quickly last year. Didn't want to play Trubisky, but whatever. Even in the offseason, after going 3-13, it was time to fully execute the long-term vision of the team, and it was going to take a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to get his quarterback.
And we talked about that all last offseason, that doesn't gel with a coach that's clearly coaching for his job. So I think we need to make it clear. I don't really think anything was said or done wrong or poorly by either side. It was just sort of a natural culmination of two different directions.
Here's the thing. If John Fox went 9-7... and Mitch Trubisky was allowed to throw the ball, and there were some concrete signs of development, do you think we're having this conversation right now?
That's an interesting question. I definitely think he lost his job the day they lost to the Packers out of the bye week. But had they won that game, does he keep it? I mean, he obviously would have had to done, you know, more after that. But
the Packers game was so telling. They went into that bye week feeling really good about themselves after hanging tight with the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, it was a disaster. The team wasn't prepared.
Brett Hundley,
they weren't prepared. They came out flat, and then you had the egregious coaching errors that happened in that game, including the challenge. That was it. That was the day John Fox got fired. Easily. But we're on to Matt Nagy.
Mr. Aggressive.
Mark Helfrich. What'd you make of him, Brad Childress? 40 minutes in the podcast, Brad Childress mentioned.
Welcome.
That doesn't hurt. Brad Childress is
absolutely doesn't
smart offensive mind who has a great relationship with Matt Nagy. What did you see what John DeFilippo had to say last week
about his interview with the
Pace?
Bears?
And yeah, I didn't know he had a relationship with Matt Nagy when I talked to him, and went out of his way to praise the Bears hire. And people were like, well, what's he supposed to say? Well, I didn't ask him about Matt Nagy. He brought it up on his own and went on about it. We talked about how impressed we were with DeFilippo during the process and those videos that he did. That was one of the things we talked about when I talked to him last week. And I came away even more impressed just talking to him. I mean, he's like, why wouldn't you do those videos? The fans love it. I love talking about football.
The guy's going to be head coach.
It helps them understand sometimes when you call a certain play that may not make sense, but when you can show them, hey, this is how the team was defending us and this is why we did it. I don't understand why more teams, like, instead of these stupid coaches shows where they say nothing, put them in front of a video board like that. Let them explain the key plays in the game. It doesn't give away strategy. They can talk around certain things, but they can explain why they called certain things, why this decision was made. It's just so much smarter.
Well, I think some teams have to realize how much smarter fans are now. How much access they have to information. Forget advanced stats or Pro Football Focus or whatever, Pro Football Reference, whatever you want to use, whatever. They watch a lot more film. They have access to the All-22. They listen to scout talk relentlessly come draft time. Right, there's former scouts, former head personnel bosses in the media now. We've been educated. Mm-hmm. Teams need to recognize that and have some confidence in what you're doing. That's what I got from John DeFilippo. But my main takeaway out of all this coaching stuff.
By the way, the Colts should go after him now.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get to this. Yeah. This Josh McDaniels mess.
Whew.
Oh, my Lord. How bad do the Colts look?
They look really bad.
Of course, Josh McDaniels looks like a complete jerk on this. Whatever. He's not the first. He's actually following. He's reading right out of the Bill Belichick book for how to screw over teams. But
I'll tell you who looks good, though. The Bears.
They're
about the only ones that look good in this. They hired Ryan Pace over Chris Ballard.
Yep.
They interviewed Josh McDaniels, but I never got the sense that was serious. They just didn't seem, we said this all along, Ryan Pace, Josh McDaniels, they just don't seem like a personalities. Yeah,
the team, they still had, they left impressed with Josh McDaniels, but there was still this uncertainty of, well, first you got to wait, and you can't wait that long. You know the Patriots are making a run, but this guy has said no to teams year after year after year after year. You have to be so certain you are the one for him.
And the Colts wanted Matt Nagy, too.
Depends who you ask. Some people in Indianapolis will say they didn't.
Well, no.
You're talking about semantics now,
though. What they've denied, yes, exactly. Yes. What those people have denied is that there wasn't a job offer. Well, maybe there wasn't an offer. That doesn't mean that Chris Ballard didn't have Nagy at the top of his list.
Yeah, I would say the Bears gave them no chance to offer.
Great. That's a great way to put it. And I think that's the accurate way to put it. So they go out and maybe steal is not the right word, but they play keep away from Indianapolis.
I like that, keep away, yeah.
They keep Matt Nagy away from Indianapolis, where his buddy Chris Ballard is.
Mm-hmm.
They take care of that. They fill out their staff with some impressive hires. They keep Vic Fangio. This is all going on while other teams are waiting for these playoff coaches to get done with their seasons. And now here the Colts are. It's February 7th as we record this. We're well into February.
Yeah.
And the Indianapolis Colts.
The combine is like in 3 weeks.
They're starting their head coaching search from scratch.
Yes. Yes.
And by the way, I like Chris Ballard.
I think he's a great evaluator.
He looks bad in all this. I thought he did a really good job with his press conference today. And I still think that he can be a good general manager. He's in a tough spot. We talk about ownership a lot, organizational decision making. The Colts have had a lot of problems that I think go way beyond Chris Ballard in the last few years. But this is a tough one, and this does fall on him.
He better hope and pray that Andrew Luck is healthy.
And that's not looking good
because
either.
If he is not,
well, if he, you know, it's
you are starting from scratch from head coach. You're starting a scratch at quarterback.
Chris Ballard probably wouldn't have taken that job had he known that all this was going to happen with Andrew Luck.
It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad.
Well, anything else on this topic?
But you're 100% right, though. The execution of how the Bears went after Matt Nagy and the way they look in this.
It looks good.
They look good.
You know, that's the thing. We don't know. You know, whoever the Colts hire may end up being have better results than Matt Nagy ever will with the Bears. We don't know. Everybody's guessing. All we can judge is the process and the logic behind the decisions that are made.
Yes.
And
look, people will defend Chris Ballard. They are. They're like lining up to defend Chris Ballard. And I get it. Likeable guy, good evaluator, yada, yada, yada. But he's on his end to his B list now. Let's make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
His A list, the McDaniels, Mike Vrabel, Matt Nagy, they're off the board. He's down to his B list. I mean, Frank Reich is getting an interview. Who else? Who else did I hear about?
Dan Campbell.
Oh, Saints. The old
Dolphins interim head coach.
Yes, tight ends coach there.
Yeah.
So,
if I was Chris Ballard, I'd call Dave Tobe. I'd say, hey, man, this is your chance.
Yeah.
You're a great dude. You're someone everyone can get along with. You could probably still get Daryl Bevel there. Have a good offensive coordinator. Keep the guy they just hired from Dallas on defense. And just try to get some... Like, that's the one thing I think Dave Tobe would bring is respect and normalcy to that organization. They need it so badly right now. And those two would mesh well.
But if you're Dave Tobe, and what do you do? Chris, why didn't you call me earlier?
Well, that is a little weird. I'm not going to lie. It's weird. It's weird that of all the people not to interview Dave Tobe, Chris Ballard didn't do it.
How many interviews did Dave Tobe get this offseason?
Did he get any?
One, maybe?
I don't remember him getting any, but I may have missed one.
I mean, that says something right there.
Yeah. Well,
everybody in Chicago talks about Dave Tobe as being a head coaching candidate.
Well, it's not just people in Chicago. It's people that have worked with him throughout the years.
Yes. Then why is he not getting these interviews?
I don't know. You know, he's been with Andy Reid, too, here for a long time.
Yeah.
Just because it's not offense, people ignore him.
I think it's a fair call, criticism, or question. People praise the crap out of this guy.
Yeah.
Why is he not being called... into meet Jim Mersey. Could happen, but who knows?
And maybe if you're Dave Tobe, you don't even want that job right now. But if he finally gets a chance, that'd be hard to turn down. All right. Last thing we have to talk about is Brian Urlacher, number 54. Probably should have talked about it earlier, to be honest. Pretty cool Saturday. The whole setup with the Hall of Fame. Hadn't really been through that process before. I like how they do it with everybody in their hotel rooms. They knock on the door, giant David Baker.
Yeah, I told you the guy is in. You interviewed him.
I did, and what was awesome is he makes fun of himself for his size.
Yes,
he's like,
it's just not like I've seen 6'9" guys before.
He called himself 6'9", 400 pounds.
Yeah, his head is enormous. His head's 100 pounds.
He used to be a basketball player, not a football player.
I know.
And no, I asked him about
no
that.
No connection to the NFL whatsoever.
I asked him about that. He goes, that was 150 pounds ago.
Yeah. He's got like that deep, bellowy, like, come hug me voice. You just see like Urlacher, Randy Moss, and Ray Lewis is sitting there already crying. Just hug me, Dave. You know, give me a big hug.
Urlacher was on Waddle and Sylvie and called him a big teddy bear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He smelled like, so good. I can relate to Urlacher. I am 100% the guy who has the do not disturb sign on my door. Every single time. It's like the first thing I do when I check into my hotel room on the road. Do not disturb.
Yeah, that's why I always bang on your door.
Mm-hmm. We don't need it.
Just troll you.
Mm-hmm. Do not disturb.
That was pretty funny.
What if Dave Baker just stood there for...
Well, the video, it shows him. He's like, what do I do? You think he means it? Yeah. So, but, you know, Jerry Kramer, the veteran candidate or I don't know whatever
yeah.
they call him. But the guy for the Packers has been waiting 35 years
yeah.
and could barely walk on stage Saturday.
I like seeing that, though. That's so cool.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because he didn't have his Do Not Disturb sign up, and the maid knocked on his door when he was waiting for David Baker.
No.
Oh. So he opens the door and it's a mate.
I did not hear that story.
So, yeah.
His heart must have been, oh, God.
It might have killed him.
I know. I just thought that.
I mean, the brutal. Maid might have killed Jerry Kramer. Some,
man.
No, it's cool to see him go in. Yes. I understand he's a Packer. Oh, no Packers. But, dude, the guy's been waiting forever. And he was hilarious Saturday.
Yeah.
Still has a great sense of humor. And that was cool.
Well, those are emotional moments when those the veteran candidates get in.
Yeah.
It's meaningful. It really does. Were they less qualified then compared to now? It's up for debate, but it's cool to see them react the way they do.
Anything else we should get to?
No.
It's late.
Have you warmed up? You're good?
Warmed up? For Minnesota?
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Everyone's complaining about it.
It feels no different than here. You know, and I talked to P.J. Fleck, the Minnesota head coach, on Friday, and he brought up a good point. It's sunnier in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you gotten used to the weather? Because it is colder. It's just like 10 to 15 degrees colder every day than here. But he brought up a good point. It's sunnier here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here in Chicago, it is kind of gloomy every day. It's depressing. I still think I'd take the extra 10, 15 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me Chicago.
But sunshine is nice. It was sunny pretty much every day last
yeah.
week.
Yeah.
What was it like in New York with the people? Like, I know it was not that cold of a day as it turned out, but the auxiliary press box, everybody was sitting outside?
Yeah. Yeah. They're in heaters. I was in the press box that day.
They had heaters?
They're underneath heaters.
Well, that's.
But it still was a mild day. The worst thing about the New York Super Bowl week was that we had to be bussed through Manhattan traffic out to New Jersey for where the availability was.
That's awful.
And the Broncos' availability was on a boat in the Hudson.
What?
So you literally had a Broncos player get seasick during media availability and puke everywhere.
Wait, what kind of boat was this?
It was just like
a ferry?
Like one of those chartered boats where you go out drinking on and they throw parties and stuff like that.
They don't move that much.
Well, it was just rocking. Yeah. You could feel the sway. You can feel this way. Ask Foxy about it next time you see him at a Super Bowl.
That's weird.
Ask Glazer what Fox thought about it.
Ask Glazer what Fox thought about the boat.
Yeah,
at Super
that
Bowl.
That was the Fox Super Bowl. Yeah.
That was Super Bowl 49?
Yeah. Where the Seahawks stomped all over John Fox's Broncos.
Yeah. That was a tough one. But, hey. Well, the Broncos won the Super Bowl the year after John Fox left.
Yes.
So the Bears.
We're just throwing dirt in his grave, I guess, huh?
Well, I'm just saying the Bears could do that next year.
Yeah.
Ooh. They just got to, you know, they got Brock Olivo.
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
Do your research.
It's going to be a fun 2018 season, Adam.
I think so. A lot of compliments Matt Nagy, a lot of compliments from Mark Helfrich last week, just talking to people around the league. So I think the Bears are in a better spot. I don't know what that means in terms of wins and losses, but you know, if they keep that defense healthy, get a couple wide receivers, get Mitch going to a new level from year one to year two, they can compete.
Well, I think the exciting thing about this season is you don't know what to expect. Especially offensively. Mm-hmm. You know what Vic Fangio's going to do. He's got a lot of guys coming back. He's got his whole defensive staff coming back.
Yeah.
But offensively, what are they going to be? Camp's going to be interesting.
They're going to have an extra mini camp because of the head coaching change. Well,
Could have the Hall of Fame game.
That's the other thing, Hall of Fame. Now, the Philadelphia reporters think that the Eagles are going to be in it, which makes sense because Brian Dawkins and T.O.
Yeah.
I mean, T.O. is not necessarily an Eagle, but he was an Eagle.
I heard a while ago that the Bears were an option. So,
well, they were supposed to be in it in 2011, and that got canceled. So maybe the whole, you know, and those fans are going to travel like crazy for Brian Urlacher.
Oh, Eagles. How about Eagles-Bears?
That makes sense. They don't play each other next year. Or do they? No, they don't play each other next year.
No.
So that could be that could be a game. The other option is, you know, go Ravens, Bears. But I think it does make sense to have the Eagles in there, unless something about them being in the Super Bowl and playing an extra month would prevent that from happening.
I have to sneeze.
Well, why don't you just do it?
Now you got two. I'll watch this.
Yeah, you could at least move the microphone. It's like you did it right in the microphone.
Adam Jones!
The torque of the violence of the sneeze. It was a Sammy Sosa back injury-like sneeze.
I was going to say, are you okay?
Yeah, feel better now. That sneeze had to get out early in the podcast. We fought it off.
You fought it off long enough.
Valiant effort.
All right. We should get out of here. Jesus. Another fun episode. With the sneeze. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S-W-G-N-Radio.com, ChicagoSunTimes.com, HeyProFootballWeekly.com. How about that?
You got enough websites there?
No. What else could we plug?
I don't know.
Okay, pick up a copy of the Sun Times tomorrow.
There we go.
There you go. What else can you do?
Still a dollar.
Listen to Sports Central. Monday through Friday, 1 to 2. On WGNradio.com or as a podcast.
Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe, rate, review. That's what we tell you to do. To this one, too. Some jag left a 1-star review on the Sports Central pod like the first day.
Really? What was it?
And it was clearly just trolling.
Yeah.
You can like see it on the iTunes page.
Yeah.
Don't do that, people. Now 5 people are going to do it.
Right.
Just don't be doing it. Don't do that. Be nice.
Everybody's a funny guy.
Leave a 5-star review for this one, too. Hogan Johns, iTunes, Google Play. I always get asked about Google Play. We're on Google Play.
Are we?
Yeah, you can find it. Tune in everywhere. All right. We'll talk to you sometime soon.